Paul's opening to his letter to the Galatians reads this way in chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The present evil age. That's what Paul calls the time that we live in, from 2,000 years ago up until this present moment. This present evil age, it's a phrase, it's a designation about the world we live in that we ought not take for granted. It's why Jesus prays just before he went to the cross, as Paul alludes to in Galatians 1. This way in John chapter 17, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus knew even as he went to the cross that there is and remains spiritual danger afoot, a powerful and determined adversary intent on destroying God's people. That notion remained with the Apostle John throughout his life. He would, of course, heard Jesus himself speak those words that he later records in his own gospel. But when he writes in his own voice in his first letter in 1 John, decades later, he says this in chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's Paul's way of repeating this concept that we live in a present evil age. And part of what makes this present age evil is that while Satan is defeated at the cross, he is also still on the loose and still able to destroy. Paul was very conscious of this reality. He gives us that memorable phrase, present evil age in Galatians, but the idea pervades his writings. I think about the vivid way he captures this concept in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he summarizes again what the essence of the meaning of what it means to say we live in a present evil age. When he writes in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 and says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The present evil age lies under the power of the God of this world. And of course, Satan's not really God, but there's a sense in which he does have a certain rule in that so much of humanity follows him as though he were God. Thus, if we do not realize, recognize, and consistently remember that Scripture refers to our time as the present evil age, we will inevitably live in sync, even yet, with the evil of the age. This is certainly true of Christians before they obeyed the gospel. Thus, Paul could say, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once did live in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. By default, we conform ourselves to Satan's reign in the fallen world of this present evil age. By default, we think we're free when we're in the world, that we're free to do whatever we want, free to make ourselves happy, free to follow our hearts. But in reality, we are slaves when we do so, slaves and don't even realize it. Peter understood that when he spoke of those teachers and philosophers and sages of the age who proclaim such teachings as lead to such supposed freedom. They promise freedom, Peter writes in 2 Peter 2, but they themselves are ironically slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is in fact enslaved. So much of what we think of as freedom in the world in this present evil age is in reality blind, ignorant slavery. And even sometimes as Christians, if we're not careful, if we take our eyes off the cross, if we take our focus of what this table represents this morning, we too begin to fall back into those old ways, by default, habit and custom. We think we are free whenever we do what the world does, but in reality, we're just following the crowd and doing the will of Satan. Slaves without realizing it. This slavery, the essence of the present evil age, is in fact what Christ died to set us free from. He gave himself, Paul says in Galatians 1, he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. So Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The renewal of the mind is what the Bible calls wisdom. And what the New Testament, and what Paul in particular in the New Testament make clear, is that the cross of Christ is central to the truth and wisdom that liberates us from the present evil age. The renewal of the mind that frees us from the slavery of the age. Paul profoundly pushes this point in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written that God catches the wise in their craftiness. Or again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Or earlier still in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the word of the cross that delivers us from this present evil age, that word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, that word of the cross is the power of God. Or a little bit later in that same chapter, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus' death on the cross was an astounding act of divine love, yes. But it was also a staggering demonstration of divine power, guided by unfathomable divine wisdom. It was the moment at which Christ defeated Satan, offering the truth that gives sight to the blind and freedom to those who are enslaved in this present evil age. And it was the moment in which God commits himself to a deed so astounding that Paul could refer us to it in mocking the present evil of the age. When God, through Paul, satirizes the world around us, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world in the cross of Christ? And so Jesus could say just before he died, again in John's gospel, now is the judgment of this world, and now will the ruler of this world be cast out. He was going to die to deliver us from the present evil age. And so as we come to this table this morning to partake of this bread and drink of this cup, let us recognize the power of the cross to deliver us from the present evil age. That's what Paul says it was all about. Let us all the more renew our minds by focusing in this moment, at this place, in the wisdom, power, and love that can deliver us from our blindness, free us from our slavery, renew our minds, make us alive to God, allow us to live flourishingly in abundant life, hopeful for heaven hereafter, and persistent in prayers and praise of thanksgiving for what has been given in this bread and in this cup.